You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
Now celebrating their 65th anniversary, Bob Sykes Barbecue is locally owned and operated by second-generation Van Sykes with the help of his nephew Jason Jewell, third generation of the Bob Sykes family. You can order Bob Sykes Barbecue online at bobsykes.com or visit the drive-thru or dine-in. Open Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Catering, family meals, and tailgate specials are available. You can also check out From the Pit to the Plate, the story of Bob Sykes Barbecue book, now available at bobsykes.com or visit the restaurant. That's Bob Sykes Barbecue, located in the heart of Alabama. That's Bob Sykes Barbecue.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
This is Arnold Edwards, CEO of Aldo Southern Electric Ice Cream. We are changing the world one ice cream at a time.
Boom!
Yeah, awesome!
You rocked that!
Way to go, Hunter. Why don't you bring a little something extra ice cream to your next event and find out how they are changing the world one ice cream at a time. All you have to do is give them a call at 256-601-7125 or email extraicecream@yahoo.com. Be sure to follow A Little Something Extra Ice Cream on Facebook and Instagram.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
Hey folks, it's pumpkin season. At J. Calvert Farms, they are a family farm trying to bring customers the best quality produce that they can buy. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, you can give them a call at 256-636-2752 or email jcalvertfarms@gmail.com or check out their website at jcalvertfarms.com. And did I mention it's pumpkin season? Get over to J. Calvert Farms and find out what we know about this very special farming family. That's J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama. J. Calvert Farms is a proud member of Sweet Grown Alabama.
Hey, everybody, this is Darryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama, assistant football coach at University of Texas. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you can be with us today as I'm on location in Huntsville, Alabama at Kids to Love with Lee Marshall. She's been on The Mark White Show before. Always glad to have Lee to share about this special effort, Kids to Love. Welcome back to The Mark White Show, Lee.
Glad to be here. Appreciate you stopping by today.
A lot of exciting things happening for Kids to Love, and I want my listeners to know about it too.
Yeah. You know, our opportunity to serve just continues to grow, and we are just so very blessed that, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I wish that we weren't needed. You know, I had a businessman a couple years ago ask me, Lee, what would be your definition of success? I said, my definition of success is that there's no longer a need for foster care and there's no longer children that need our services. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. And there are kids that come from hard places. I mean, just yesterday there were two kids that were pulled in North Alabama, a three-year-old and a six-year-old. They had no toys. They had no shoes that fit them. They were infested with fleas. And we think that that happens in other countries. And that's happening right here in our state and our community. And when we got the call, we were able to connect them with one of our foster families through our child placing agency, through our emergency services. Let's just say those boys had plenty of toys to play with last night. And so every day we just see the need, and it just reiterates what God has called us to do, and to be a voice for those children in care, to be an advocate, to say, you know what, it's not okay that these kids continue to fall through the cracks. They need support educationally. They need support through mental health, through trauma therapy. There are so many needs, and every day we get the chance to be that voice for these kids. That without Kids to Love stepping up and being that voice, they would be voiceless.
Lee, there are a lot of people out there looking for their why. They're looking for their purpose. Of course, people who knew you before knew you from the media, and you found your purpose in Kids to Love. But the path to get there is sometimes hard for people to take and to figure out why is this even happening? And then ultimately you found yours. But take people through the path from your journalism media career to Kids to Love and how this even came to be.
When I was at 48, you know, I wanted to start sharing the stories of kids that needed homes that were in foster care in Alabama, because I was adopted and I was born into foster care. So to me, it was very personal, and that made me passionate about it. And I just wanted to do a story to showcase children waiting to be adopted. And we did that in November of 98. And the very first child that I ever met the one that started it all, his name was Sherman. And I had a chance to meet Sherman and tell his story. And I just saw the need. And I looked around and I saw that no one was doing anything in this lane to meet the need. And so I approached management at the time, and they said, you know, Lee, nobody's going to care about these kids. And I said, well, that's my job, is to make them care about these children. And I said, you know, so many times when we don't know about something, that's why we don't care, because if we're ignorant on a subject, and I don't mean that negative, if we don't know, we don't know. And so I pleaded my case for quite a while, I'll say that nicely. And finally, we started our weekly Kids to Love segment. And, you know, we still, even today, even though I retired from television in 2015 to focus full time on Kids to Love, you know, we still profile our kids on our kidstolove.org website, across our social media platforms. I'm so thankful that the channels that are available now that wasn't available then, that still lets us tell those stories. And we're able to do it in how we want to tell that. And that's important to me, with very much the respect of the child. So that's really how Kids to Love got started. We started as a foundation in 2004. We're 18 this year, turn 19 in December. And in that time, we've had a direct impact on the lives of more than 295,000 children in foster care. And several things that I am very proud of that our team works hard for is we as an organization run completely debt-free, and we also do not accept any state or federal funding. So everything we raise is local, everything we spend is local, and we're able to do that with no strings attached. And if a child has a need, then we meet that need. And to my knowledge, there has not been a need that any of our team or social workers have ever brought to us that we have not been able to meet. And these kids are told no enough. We want to be the one that says yes.
You had a special lady, Dr. Dorothy Davidson, who donated property. This is something that you couldn't have envisioned early on, even with doing a segment, Kids to Love, back in the television days. But to think that someone was going to donate something that was going to allow you to take a huge step for these young people. Let's talk about that for just a minute.
Well, you know, I tell people when you take a step in faith, you take that first step of the staircase, as Dr. King said. Faith is taking that first step without seeing the whole staircase. And that's really what we did with Kids to Love. And so we started easy with school supplies, and then we added Christmas gifts, and we started school supplies in my garage. I mean, there was no fancy to this. It was very much missional. And but as we added every program and continued to meet the needs, the opportunities continued to unfold. And so in 2015, we were launching our K-Tech program. And it's a workforce training initiative. Between 75 and 80% of members of the juvenile justice system or prison system or former foster children. So me as a journalist at the core saw that statistic. And instead of being reactive, I thought, what can we do to be proactive? So that's when I first approached Dr. Davidson, who ended up becoming an amazing friend and mentor to me. And I cast the vision of K-Tech and the workforce training, and I asked her to pay for the state-of-the-art equipment. And without hesitation, she said yes. So that was early of 2015, a significant gift. So then we didn't even have our girls' home on the radar at the time, but God did. And so that summer, it started, the house came into the vision. And I was at lunch with her one day, and she said, because I had told maybe a handful of people, and she said, tell me about this house. And I said, well, there's a beautiful group home that was built as a group home in Madison County, almost on the Limestone County line. And I said, I just see that being a place of an opportunity of healing and restoration for girls in foster care. She said, well, how much do you think we could get it for? And I told her, and it was a significant gift. And she said, well, let's just go get the house. I said, are you kidding me? She said, no. And that was one of her very last significant gifts. Her legacy is huge across North Alabama. She has been so generous to the Cooks Museum, Space and Rocket Center, to the Museum of Art. And she did a lot of gifts anonymously. And at first she said, I don't want my name on this. And I said, I'll honor whatever you want to do. But to me, Dorothy Davidson was a pioneer in our community in so many ways. And I see her not only as a pioneer in defense with her late husband, Julian, but she was a pioneer just in her career. And I said, you're also a pioneer in philanthropy. And when you give, it shows people that you've done your homework, that you've vetted the organization, and you know that they're worthwhile. And I said, if you give, that's going to encourage others who maybe aren't as bold and courageous as she is to follow suit. And she said, well, let me think about it. And so she thought about it. And I said, you know, I really think Davidson Farms would just be great. And she said, okay, I'll agree to that. And she would come and spend Thanksgiving with us and the girls at the farm. I've got a picture over there of us on the front lawn at Davidson Farms. We were all out front on Thanksgiving playing football, and she was out there playing football. This is not the Dr. Dorothy Davidson that people know. But Miss D became an amazing friend, and it was so sad when we lost her. But then I got called, and she had requested a private funeral service. She asked that I speak and sing. But the thing that resonated the most was she asked, her family was on one side, and she asked that the girls on the farm sit on the front row of the other. And so this really was something she was so proud of, to leave her legacy. And so we were able to purchase the home in 10 and a half acres. And we had the vision at the time to add more houses and cottages. And when we cut the ribbon on the main house, she put a sign out front that says the Lee Marshall House. And she surprised me with that at the ribbon cutting, because she knew that I would have been like, we're not putting my name on it.
And kind of like she was.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we were a lot alike in a lot of ways. And but anyway, she knew that this would be the first of many homes. And the last time that I was able to visit with her, she was sick, and I was at her house, and I was able to show her sketches of the cottages, and she was so excited. And she said, you've got to make this happen. And so that was one of the last conversations. And so for us to cut the ribbon and to make this a reality really is honoring of her legacy, her believing in something so much greater, to invest in young women, to give them a chance at education, to change their lives. I am so humbled at the people God puts in my path. There's no way I can do this by myself. I don't want to. She told me, she said, you know, Lee, I like to give, and don't you rob me of that blessing. I said, yes, ma'am. You bless on.
That's great. Right now, folks, we're talking to Lee Marshall. We are at Kids to Love in Huntsville, Alabama. As we're sharing about Kids to Love and the effort, Lee has shared the history of Kids to Love and how this came to be. We have a special ribbon cutting that happened recently as the Whitaker Cottage community opened up. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment as I continue this conversation with Lee Marshall. I hope you'll stick with me. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
For those of us who are directly responsible for the care of loved ones, we want to do the very best we can to take care of them. This is where estate planning is so important. With estate planning, you can still take care of your loved ones even when you're gone. I encourage you to make a plan by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Harlan Mitchell has all the tools you need to make a solid plan for your family, just like I did. That's BamaEstatePlanning.com. Make a plan and do it today. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers. At J. Calvert Farms, they can't wait to see you at their first annual Fall Fest, October 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, this will be a perfect weekend activity for the kids. Tickets are $8 per child for all activities, plus a free small pumpkin, $2 per activity if they don't want to do them all. There will be discounted prices for families with three or more children, and kids two and under are free. For more information, you can give them a call at 256-636-2752 or email jcalvertfarms@gmail.com and check them out on the web at jcalvertfarms.com. J. Calvert Farms is a proud member of Sweet Grown Alabama.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
Drives into the city. Extra hard all day. Finishes up early so he can get away.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you can be with us as we are in Huntsville, Alabama at Kids to Love, speaking with Lee Marshall, the founder of Kids to Love. We have shared the history of Kids to Love, how it came to be from her media career to this point today. We shared about Dr. Dorothy Davidson and the special contributions that she made to this effort. What an impact. What a story to hear. Is there something in that that you can think about and think about how you can make a difference? There are a lot of things that we can do short of having the financial ability. We have other talents and other skills, and if we focus on what we can do with those skills and those talents, then we can make an impact. Each and every one of us can make a difference. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Lee.
I'm so just honored to share, you know, more of what we're doing. And, you know, as you mentioned, the Whitaker Cottage community, that was a vision that we've had for several years. Davidson Farms is a licensed group home, and we're licensed by the Department of Human Resources. That licensure is keeps us operating at a standard and a code to make sure that we are keeping kids safe that DHR sets. But part of that licensure requirement is our girls can stay there 7 to 19, but when they turn 20, they have to leave. And so we knew that this would be a concern and an issue that we would have to deal with. And so we opened in 2017, and as we would have girls age out, we would support them with apartments, connect them with mentors, surround them with the support system. But all the while, them actually leaving the farm and leaving the family that's created at the farm was a loss. And so we knew that we had to make the cottages happen. So, of course, we take this on right before COVID, because that's the perfect time to take on a massive building project.
I remember.
And so our plan was to build the first five, and then, you know, eventually the big picture is to have 20 on that campus. We have finished our first five and really working now on the program. We already have one young lady that's moved into one cottage, and she's working with our mentors on budgeting. She is going to college at Calhoun. She has a job. She's doing everything the right way. I'm so proud of her. And so she's, you know, I told her, I said, you're going to be the pioneer in this. And she's like, that's too much pressure, Ms. Lee. And I'm like, no, you're going to be the pioneer. And so that's really our plan, is as our girls age out of the main house, then they still have a place to call home. And so our cottages are right around 320 square feet. It's essentially a studio apartment. One girl lives per cottage, because it's important for us to teach them how to live independently. And, you know, so that's meal planning, grocery store shopping on a budget, which is hard to learn.
And it's gotten harder.
It's gotten harder, yes. And so, you know, that means that you're going to buy the generic because you're going to save 50 cents, and that 50 cents over 50 items adds up.
You're going to buy pork and chicken and not steak.
Yes,
these days.
And then you come back to the main house, and you can have steak there from time to time. But yeah, you know, so for us, we're really excited at the opportunity this gives. To my knowledge and to my research, this is the first aging out solution of its kind nationwide. And we love to be trailblazers. And the need is so great. On average, one in five kids that age out of foster care will instantly become homeless. Young women will become pregnant by the time they're 21. They will be unemployed on average by the time they're 24. So we know what happens.
Some will be in the prison system.
Some will be in the prison system. So we know what happens when we do nothing. And our organization is very proactive to change statistics to success.
One of the things I think about, and you mentioned it in the first segment, as we talk about the aging out, and you talked about the young people who there's this window where they get assistance and then they don't have help. That's one thing that has really concerned me lately as I think about the prison system. I think about those who had help up until a certain point, and then you're on your own. Chelsea Greenhill, who I mentioned to you from actually Health Connect America, they help those who are therapeutic type in foster care, mm-hmm. and that's something they focus on. But if you get to a certain point and you say 20 years old or 21 in the school system, and then they're out and they're treated as anybody else would be, there's nothing unique or special about them anymore when it comes to the community as a whole. And we have to figure out where that person goes from that point to be able to, as you're talking about, still have some structure and still have some great lessons that can be learned so that they can be independent. And I can see, too, where if the young people stay on the farm, that you have a whole crop of young people that are coming up that they can watch
the success, and then they are then encouraged and inspired to be successful themselves.
Right. Our girls that live in the cottages will be the big sisters to the girls that stay in the house. Because, again, we create a family there, and that's very important to us. We have a house mom and dad that live there full-time, and their job is to raise our girls. But the biggest thing that we're doing with this is breaking the cycle of poverty. The number one reason kids come into foster care is poverty. And that can be a whole host of reasons, you know, abuse, neglect. The list, drug addiction, the list goes on and on. But poverty is that core social problem that everything is connected to that. And so when we talk about breaking generational poverty, we have to do that one child at a time, because then that's breaking that family bloodline at a time.
Yes.
And we're giving them, we're creating and showing them what truly a family should be. You know, a lot of times our kids, love was the back of somebody's hand, and that's not what love is. And so it's hard for them to trust. It's hard for them to love. But with us wrapping our arms around them, literally sometimes, you know, I mean, there's not a time I see the girls that I always hug them. Love you. See you later. Call me if you need me. You got my number. Yes, Miss Lee. You know, I mean, we truly create a community, and that's what our kids have never had. They've never had a community. We had one young lady that was living at the farm a couple years ago, and she's a cheerleader. And she called me one afternoon, and she was just real upset. And she said, "Miss Lee, I've got to take 20 names to school tomorrow. We've got to sell cookies after school for a uniform fundraiser for cheerleading. I don't have 20 names." And I said, "Give me an hour. And listen, don't ever give me your cell phone number if you don't ever want me to call." And so I started reaching out to friends, supporters, and I said, "Hey, you know how you said if I ever need anything, Lily's going to call you tomorrow between 3 and 3:30, and you better buy cookies from her." And then I'm very competitive. I was going to be sarcastic and say a little bit, but I'm very competitive. And so not only did Lily had 40 names. So I said, not only are we going to sell cookies, we're going to win the cookie sale. But it showed me that things that we take for granted of, you know, our neighbors that we build relationships with, our family that we have, our church families, our kids don't have that. And that really was one of those defining aha moments, that when we came up with the term cottage community, we had to create a community for these kids.
And that has certainly happened. And I like the fact that so much coverage has been given to this.
Yeah.
Because these are the things that people need to be aware
right.
of. They need to
this
see.
This is good news.
Yes. Where can I help?
Right.
What can I do to make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
People say they want to make a difference. And then when you put something in front of them, they see it. They can see something that's tangible, that anything that they do can help.
Right.
And that's something that I want listeners to understand today, is Kids to Love has a place for everyone to support this effort.
Yeah. I mean, we need volunteers. We fill about 2,000 Christmas wish lists all across North Alabama, Southern Tennessee every year. That takes a lot of people in our warehouse shopping, processing. You know, we need companies that will say, "Hey, you know what? We'll take 25 ornaments, 25 wishes for a kid, and we'll hang those in our business," or "We're going to challenge our employees to get involved." It can be your time, it can be your talents, and it can be your resources. And, you know, some people are just like, "Lee, I don't have time to volunteer, but can I write you a check?" Absolutely. That's made payable to Kids to Love, and that's a tax deduction. But, you know, just like with the Whitaker Cottage community, that, you know, we've got the first 5, we want to build 15 more. And so if people were like, "I didn't know you were doing this," I've had a lot of people say, "Lee, I didn't even know you were doing it." I'm like, "Well, it's not too late, because I have 50 more to build." And we don't really have the time frame on that yet, because we really want to now hone in on the program.
Yes.
To make sure that we are that safety net for these girls. And, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And everything we do, there's not a blueprint for what we do. We write the blueprint as we go. And so that's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Sometimes more tears, you know, and sleepless nights. But when we see the ripple effect of, you know, young people that we have sowed seeds in their lives. And, you know, I get texts on Mother's Day. I get texts on my birthday. I get texts on Christmas. And, you know, they become family, and family's not always who you're born to. It's who you have an opportunity to connect with in life. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I gave birth to two, and I have helped 200,000 plus, you know. They're my kids. All of them are.
Coming from foster care yourself, who became your family?
I was very fortunate. I was born into foster care. I was placed with my family when I was 6 weeks old. I was born into the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home out of Memphis. And my parents desperately wanted a little girl. And so at 6 weeks old, I was placed with them. They adopted me at the age of two. So I feel like I have the best case scenario of born into foster care but placed with a forever family. But I know, but for the grace of God, I could be any of these kids that I get to come in contact with every day. I don't take that blessing in my life for granted. And if anything, it just fuels me to do more, be understanding, to try to see things through the eyes of the child. And, you know, anytime we start new programs, I've got all of these kids that are what I would consider alumni of our programs, former scholarship recipients that have graduated college. And when we were opening the farm, like I went to all of them and I said, okay, what did you need when you were a teenager? Oh, Miss Lee, I needed, and everything they needed became part of the service and the culture. So it's very intentional of how we build stuff. And again, to give these kids a voice, because a lot of times they've never had one.
Right.
And every one of them said, hey, thanks for asking me. Thanks for letting me be a part of this. And they show up at ribbon cuttings. They show up to go over the edge with us every year. You know, we have our kids that always come back and rappel just to continue to be a part of the organization that was such an important part of their life.
So, Lee, how can my listeners today be a part of Kids to Love?
One of the biggest things that we need really is foster families. And if you go to kidstolove.org, we train people at no cost, and then we license them through our child placing agency. There are 5,600 kids in foster care in Alabama. That number nationally grows well over 200,000. And if you're listening to us and you're not in Alabama, if you go to our website and fill out the form, we will connect you with a resource in your state. So that's one of the biggest things we need. We always need monetary gifts. And I just tell people, that's the part of this I hate asking for. But really what I have found out is people want to leave legacies, and they want to do something of significance to show their family, to teach the next generation how to give. And so if you're out there and that may be who you fit in, I'd love to talk to you. Like I said, I've got 15 more cottages to build, and we'll put names on them. And then to just, I challenge businesses to give back. And while we would love for that to be to Kids to Love, I just challenge every business and every business owner to find something that they, their family, or their team's passionate about, and get plugged in and give back in your community. It takes everybody doing something, and that's some of the, not everybody can be a Dorothy Davidson, and I'm appreciative of her, but the majority of the people we come in contact with are business owners, you know, Joe Q Public, just normal people that understand the difference that having a forever family makes. And if you're a parent, I can't imagine not raising my children and facing the situation that a lot of families face when their kids are pulled into foster care. But I am so thankful that we're there to take care of them while they are.
You can have the heart of Dorothy Davidson.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the important part.
Absolutely.
Is having the heart, because it doesn't matter what you have if you don't have the heart.
Right.
Because the heart is what allows you to give.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want people out there who are listening right now to decide that they want to give and be a part of Kids to Love. Kidstolove.org.
Mm-hmm.
They can find out more information. They can plug in.
Yes.
The great term to use, plug in. Find where you fit
and make a difference through Kids to Love. Lee Marshall, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Mark White Show.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I appreciate it. Great to catch up again. Last time, awesome. I think we did it by phone, so it's good to connect in person.
I love in person.
Yeah.
Shenandoah was coming to town.
That's right.
And you were having
yes.
a fundraiser.
Yes.
Getting things started. Mm-hmm. It was during COVID time, as
yes.
a matter of fact.
Marty Rabin's a dear, dear friend, and it's one of those when you had to phone a friend, and so I phoned a friend, and he brought the crew, and yeah, it was a great event. So appreciate you covering that.
Absolutely. Folks, here on The Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers, and we're sharing stories to encourage and inspire. And I hope you are encouraged and inspired by this show, so much so that you'll share it with your family, your friends, and your neighbors, and let them know about The Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference in our communities around the country and the world. I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram, and then go over and subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to an on-location edition of The Mark White Show from Huntsville, Alabama, at Kids to Love with Lee Marshall. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out alabamathebeautifulmagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
At the Tennessee Aquarium, you can explore the Earth's biggest rivers, swim the ocean's hidden reefs, and discover new creatures that stretch the imagination. Experience a world of endless adventures at the Tennessee Aquarium.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Sand gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. These are my kind of people.